Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the brand new Nightpan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Let me just say this first. Yes, we're in a new studio. We're just getting going here. We'll perfect it as we go. You know, it's not where I want it to be yet. There's a few little tweaks we're going to make. But listen, perfection is just another form of procrastination. We're not stopping down over here. We're rolling. All right. So support us. Subscribe to that YouTube. I'm telling you, it helps us get out there in the algorithm so more people can find the show. Go watch my special, Lefty Son. It's on my YouTube. Please support that. I saw Tyler, the creator, the other day say he's promoting stuff that's been a year old. And I'm like, yeah, why don't we pump our own stuff harder than that? He's like, what's 3 months is nothing. So he's right. Go watch Lefty Son on YouTube. All right. The Patreon. Listen, if you got to have more, I'm telling you right now, you got to have the Patreon. It's $5 a month. There's no other levels or anything like that. And it's the Honeydew with y'all. And y'all have the wildest stories I've ever heard in my life. Every week, it is something. Give it a try for $5. You don't just get one episode. You're getting the entire back library. You're getting the Honeydew a day early. You're getting it ad-free. You're getting it at no additional cost. It's worth every penny. I promise you it's worth that cup of coffee. All right? And if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, go listen to my old podcast, The Crab Feast. I'm going to tell you right now, it is such an active show still. That library is going to do over 1 million downloads this year. That's how many people are still listening. There's a community online for it. And it's got all the people you know and love in podcasting telling completely different stories. So go check that out. It's a great podcast. My tour dates. Look, we're going all the way through 2024. We just added a bunch for this year. There's still more coming. So here's what we got. August 11th, that is here in Los Angeles. I'll be at Flappers Burbank. Get your tickets now. It's one show, August 11th. August 18th and 19th, I'll be down in Tampa, Florida. Steve Simone will be working with me. Can't wait to come down there and see y'all, Tampa. September 1st and 2nd, Springfield, Missouri. September 15th and 16th is Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was the one that had to be rescheduled. There it is. I promise you it's coming. September 29th and 30th, Phoenix, Arizona. October 27th and the 28th, Salt Lake City, Utah. All right, now, that's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on here. First guest in the new studio, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Talent. Welcome to the Honeydew, Sam.
What an honor. What a lovely.
Thank you so much.
It's just so good to be here. And I want to apologize because we got these lights set up and then your crew had to spend about an hour and a half putting powder on my forehead so that we wouldn't burn out the new cameras.
Maybe that's the answer we should use.
It's my fault. Yeah. You have this like very highly skilled bunch of people in here. And it's just like, well, what if Sam was underneath some kind of sheet?
Yeah, we'll get the lights down.
What if he had a bigger hat? Yeah, so
yeah, we'll get it.
I apologize for my head being
so
big and wet.
Don't. You came straight from the airport with luggage.
Yeah.
And
merch,
got in
baby.
Here. And is it your merch?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got seated right here to kick off the maiden voyage in a new studio.
What an honor to be part of this institution.
Well,
this
thank
storied
you.
Storied show. I was a big Crab Feast guy.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Young comic, listening to people be very vulnerable and be like, oh, I'm also bad.
Yeah, they're good stories.
Yeah, they were great.
Listen to Sam Talent, knows what he's talking about. Go subscribe.
It's a very active community.
Before we get into whatever we're going to talk about today, please plug, promote everything you'd like.
I have a podcast called Chubby Behemoth with my friend Nathan Lund that you can listen to wherever you get podcasts. You can see me live. When this comes out, I'll be in Australia. Hopefully those are sold out already so I don't have to never return to Australia. And then I'll be in Tampa. I'll be at Laugh Boston. I'll be in Kansas City. SamTalent.com. I'm on the road every weekend, and I wrote a novel called Running the Light that you can buy as well. But if you're a comedy fan, you're tired of hearing about that. I've been promoting it nonstop for 2.5 years.
All right.
Yeah.
So we just met today.
We did, yeah.
Our good friend Kazzy's been trying to connect us for a while. What's
the
up,
legend.
Kaz?
Hey, Kazzy. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. And I want to get to know you, first of all, because I ask everyone to give me a little bit of what we're going to talk about. So I do know we're going to talk a little bit about your mom. But tell me about yourself. Where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up? All that stuff.
I'm from Eastern Colorado. I'm from Elbert County, Colorado, a town of less than 1,000 called Elizabeth, where I played sports year round and was very actively engaged in student council, the Thespian Society. I did everything there.
Your mom and dad together?
They were together the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have siblings?
I have a sibling, yeah. Sophie.
Sophie, your
Sophie,
sister.
She's a real freak.
Oh yeah. What do you mean by that?
I don't mean like in a cool, sexy way. I mean maybe. That's none of my business. I don't want to know if that's the case.
I was like, what are her boyfriends tell you that?
Yeah, yeah. Her husband won't shut up. She's very flexible, I guess. I don't know. No, she's fun, man. She's just like tough. We just had my wife's graduation ceremony for her. She's done with residency, and we had that this weekend. And right around 1 a.m., everyone's like, well, it's time to hit the old hay. And my sister's like, we have to do shots out of each other's mouths. Like, we cannot stop partying right now just because you guys are blackout drunk and everyone wants to leave. So she's very good about keeping the momentum going.
All right.
Creating momentum,
yeah.
Even if there is no momentum. Even if everyone's begging to end things. So yeah, I love her. I love my dad. Love my mom. I had a very nice upbringing.
All right.
Very small town. Knew everybody. Yeah.
And did you excel at sports in school? Or
I did excel at sports. Yeah. I was an all-state offensive lineman twice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I was going to play football in
what
college.
What position? What'd you play?
I was a right tackle for a left-handed quarterback.
Oh, so you're
the blindside tackle?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Although we never threw the ball. We pretty much just played like it was like a wing T situation. So I don't think it was ever the forward pass was not allowed in the league we played in from what I remember. But yeah, I wrestled, you know. And I was going to play college ball. I hurt my knee, so I couldn't do that. And that was a
Where are we going to play?
CU, University of Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first whiff of pain that I ever had, but other than that, I have nothing to complain about. Started doing stand-up when I was 18, moved to Denver. Here we are on The Honeydew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a story you wanted to talk to is about your mom's stroke we're going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I've been milking that for a while now.
How? Tell me about it. How old was your mom and how old were you when all this went down?
I lived in Vegas. My wife went to the first 2 years of med school in Las Vegas. This was 2017. My mother was the matriarch of our family. You know, my dad, lovable doofus, loved like mooning people at the post office, that kind of thing. Just like a fun guy. A lot of like fireworks indoors kind of guy, you know? Just a blast. Then my mom just like pensively drinking a Greyhound being like, these boys, you know? So she She was very heavily for Hillary Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Mm-hmm. And when Hillary Rodham Clinton lost the election in 2017 to Donald Trump, my mom's brain exploded. Literally, like they said, Trump's gonna win, and then her head popped and she hit the floor. And my dad was not there. My dad was, she worked in Denver.
So wait, was it literally at the time, that time of day was the announcement?
From what Pretty we much. Can tell, my mom was texting my dad and my Aunt Julie up until that, being like, this is fucked. This looks bad. What's going on? I can't believe this country. And then as soon as Trump was elected, her phone went silent. And my dad was kind of like, well, this is weird. Maybe she's just, you know, mourning her own way. And then, so he was at our house in Elizabeth, and my mom worked at the Federal Reserve in Denver. So it's like an hour away. And she got herself an apartment down there, so she didn't have to commute. And then my dad was like, well, this is weird. She's not responding. So he ended up driving out there and got there probably around 4 or 5 in the morning because he couldn't get a hold of her. And she was on the ground, you know, in like full worm position. And they had to, you know, knock down the door of the fire department. And yeah, it really rendered her like a quarter of a woman.
So was she really, she was there that long, alone, that long?
Yeah.
And if your dad doesn't go, she probably dies.
Yeah. So there's, I think.
How old was she?
She was born in 1953 and this was in 2017. So 64 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my dad, he beat himself up because he was like, I should have been there. I should have gone there earlier. But her brain, I'm a very happy-go-lucky guy. My dad's a dingus. My sister has more of my mom in her, but she's able to have fun. But my mom was like always so stressed. She had so much just the weight of her world. The world was on her shoulders, you know, making sure. My dad, you know, got sober when I was 13. He was a bit of a booze bag. So she kept the whole thing afloat.
Well, let's hold on. Let's jump back there. Why? Yeah. What made your dad finally get sober when you were 13?
I think my mom gave him an ultimatum. My mom's from Cleveland. My dad's from rural Colorado. So this level of like openness is never really part of our family vocabulary, mm-hmm. you know, emotionally. But I do remember that there was an incident where like my dad got fucking torn out the frame, thwacked on a nice, like he got sober and then he found a bottle of booze in my grandparents' basement. He's like, this is real good whiskey. It'd be a shame for it to go to waste. Pulled the cork. I think my sister found him down there, like, you know, totally dunzo. And then he, I think, took her on a ride around the suburbs of Parker, Colorado. And my mom was like, you just jeopardized your daughter's life to kind of prove a point that you weren't too drunk to drive. You know, that classic move. And I think she was like, look, this is for real. So I remember my dad being a really fun drunk guy.
I was going to ask, yeah, was he abusive in any way or angry?
Hell no.
So he was just making poor decisions while he was drinking.
He was privately blowing it.
Yeah.
But to me, he was the funnest guy ever. He was the guy that all my friends wanted to come over. He was my football coach as a kid. He was the third base coach. He always had a new bit, you know? I remember my dad was the king of the thumb gag.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember there was a kid named Cameron Rao, God bless him, who told me when we graduated high school, he's like, you know, your dad, he was the best, man. You got to tell me, how does he fucking pull his thumb off like that? And I was like, yeah, I swear to you. Yeah, hand to God. Yeah. And I was like, dude, Cameron, I've known you since kindergarten. Have you been developmentally disabled this whole time? I can do it for you right now. And he was like, his world shattered around him, you know? So no, he was the greatest. He was a hoot and a holler. He was never hung over around me. I mean, he would pick us up from school with a tall boy.
He would.
Yeah. But like, that's what all the dudes that I knew, they were older, like men, you know, my uncle, it was just part of the culture of growing up, in the middle of nowhere. So yeah, he never blew it to my knowledge. And sure, there was all these like little small things you think about where it's like, well, why was he asleep? You know, at my sister's fifth grade or my fifth grade graduation, like, why was my dad still asleep? You know, it's like, well, he was hungover, he had 3 sheets. So yeah, no, I don't have any negative memories. What it did suck because it made my mom look like the bad guy.
Yeah,
because you know, like when your dad's like, hey, you're gonna go to this pool hall that has like an arcade machine. Here's a sock full of quarters. go crazy. I'm going to be down the street at the bar with my friends. When your mom calls and she's like, he left you alone at the pool hall. You're not like, yeah, how dare he? You're like, yeah, he's the best. It's the coolest. Yeah, there's a guy here who's giving me all the chocolate milk I can drink. Like, I'm having a blast. You know, so when she shows you up crying and ruins your fun, it happened. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff happened. It doesn't reflect negatively on your dad. It makes your mom look like a giant wet blanket, which was so unfair to her.
And when does that hit you? At what age do you shift where you're like, oh, I see. Mom was just holding it together, not being a pain in the ass.
I mean, you get older and you get perspective. And then you have, you know, lunch with your mom when you're a 19-year-old who's going to go feature on the road for the first time. And she has all these, like, very legitimate concerns about, like, you're driving to Gillette, Wyoming for $100 and you have to split gas with the guy. And this guy's, like, a known, like, the headliner, you know? It's like, this guy's, like, a known, he's a road headliner in the Rocky Mountain Time region. So he's got problems.
Rocky Mountain Time.
Oh, the Mountain Time Zone, dude, for stand-up? Those people are monsters. If you don't leave Denver and your whole thing is like, I got the Indian casinos, I got that run, that's going to put $1,200 in my pocket as a comic who's been doing it for 20 years. And so I'd have these conversations with my mom where she had all these like legitimate concerns. And then you just tell your dad and he's like, oh, hell yeah, dude, you're making it. Attaboy. And then you're like, oh, mom's been right the whole time, you know, about these like actual concerns. So, I can't say that my dad was ever a bad father.
What do you remember about him sobering up? Like, did his level of fun change? Did it really?
Well, it was like a whole like calamitous situation. My dad worked at the bank. My mom worked at the Federal Reserve. They were both bank examiners when I was a kid. And then my dad made some like, one of his multiple shell organizations. And he started some business. And this dude named Bill Huff, and I'll say his name because he fucked over our family heavy. My dad gave him some money to start this business. And then the guy bailed. Like, it just ran away to what we found out later to be Mexico. So my dad, like, finally had a little bit of money, and he was like, this is going to turn everything around.
So he just took all of it. He never even did anything.
Didn't do a damn thing. So that rocked my dad, sent him kind of into a bit of a spiral. And then he came out of that sober and he's like, I don't want to work at the bank anymore. I want to be a teacher. So in that time, my mom went back to school to get her master's in landscape architecture, which is a giant waste of money.
Okay. Yeah. I was about to say no offense. That's a thing. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah.
Is that for companies like Disneyland and stuff like that? Are we talking about massive architecture for landscaping, like city buildings and things?
Or? I think my mom thought that she was going to recreate the Luxembourg Gardens in Paris, but in Castle Rock, Colorado. Because I remember, I thought my mom had this like very highfalutin idea of like, you know, like people need parks, you know, like that's a big part of why Europe is so good. Because there's all these like green spaces and people can go and be outside and just be like kind of enchanted. And I would go to, she went to the University of Colorado, Denver to get her landscape architecture degree. And I remember sitting at all the drafting tables there. And I was just given all these markers and I would just, you know, ruin these like $12 markers, like drawing, you know, X-Men characters. But my mom had all these giant drawings of top-down topography of what she thought that a good park would look like. You know, the trees here, here's the pond, all this stuff. So I saw this stuff that she thought she was going to change the world. She ended up doing like, you know, there's enough trees in the parking lot at Park Meadows Mall. Like she got a job with Douglas County, just going around and kind of auditing that they had enough of, you know, the boulevards had grass on them. There was the parking lots had enough, lawns that were big enough. So yeah, she was totally just dejected by what she thought was going to be this cool creative outlet. As someone who, my mom was an amazing artist. She loved to read, very funny. And then she worked at the banks forever. And then she was like, no, I hate this. I'm not being able to express myself. And then she didn't get to do that at all after going to school. So anyway, my dad, he ends up working at Walmart's overnights as he gets his shit together, unloading trucks and working in the bakery. So like fifth grade, fourth grade, my dad just wasn't around as much because he would be asleep during the day. And then at night he'd wake up and go work this terrible job, just this soul crushing job so that he could, you know, continue to support and everything while he wound up getting his teaching license. So yeah, that was like, there was like this time in fifth grade, I went to school like 40% of the days that you were supposed to go. And I remember because I would fake sick all the time because I didn't want to go to school. It's that whole fucking gifted and talented thing where it's like, oh, I wasn't being challenged. So school sucks. And like, I started taking the SAT prep when I was in like fourth, fifth grade.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, it's just like in this very small town, you know, I had a very active mind. I loved reading. I was always writing stuff and they didn't know what to do with it. So they're like, well, I guess we'll just teach him how to take the SATs. Like if he's going to, you know, hopefully go on to bigger and better things, we should just put him in standardized testing.
Did you take him?
I took him twice a year from like fifth grade all the way through.
What do you remember what you got in fifth grade?
No, I don't.
What was your highest ever?
So in the SATs, I don't know. But so that was the most fucked part was I studied for the SATs. And then in Colorado to go to state schools, you took the ACTs. Yeah. But the ACTs, I crushed. I think I got in language, I got like a 33 or a 34.
Out of what? What is it?
I think 36.
Is it? I don't know.
And then I think I got like a 29 in math and science. But I was terrible at that stuff. So anyway, it's a long way to say that I remember my dad picking me up from school one day and he just woke up having worked all night, you know, white knuckling his sobriety, trying to get his shit together. And he was like, I don't know what's going on with you, but this whole fake and sick thing is over. We got to figure this out. And I just started crying and I was like, I just never see you anymore, man. And whenever you always pick me up. And then he was quiet the whole ride home. Not even any music on. My dad's a big music guy. I remember him not having any music on. And me just sitting next to him as he like gently sobbed. Mm. And that was one of two times I saw my dad cry. One being when his mom passed away.
Which was first?
My grandmother passed away after this.
After.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the first time you saw your dad ever cry.
Yeah, and it was that like man crying where it looks like, you know, you're trying to fight off an aneurysm. So it's like you're just going to like beat a heart attack, man, you know, through perseverance. So yeah,
I got this.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Yeah, you know how to take the wheel. My dad would do weird shit, man. I remember he would do these drills. This is when he was drinking. So like at the end of football practice, we would pack up all the pads and everything. And then he would be like, all right, so if we ever have to make a getaway, you're going to have to get in the moving car. So then he would just like drive through the polo fields as I was running my little fat bodied self next to it, like trying to get in a moving vehicle. He's like, you got it. Just grab the door. Grab the door. Now throw your body in head first. Don't put your feet in. You can't keep up. You got to put your body in. And then me like diving in. And when you look at it through the, oh, he was just wasted. You're like, oh, that was insane. Thing to teach. We used to hitchhike all the time when I was a kid.
What? Why?
Well, he would have all these like Volkswagen like buses or like just like weird Volkswagen, never bugs, but the, you know, the sedans. And he'd get them for like $400. I think he would get them because when he was working at the bank, this was such a small town that when you couldn't pay off your mortgage, you would get paid in, they would give pigs to the bank or they would pay with like bales of hay. So I think certain regulations. Yeah, they gave an old car and it would break down all the time because I don't have any mechanical knowledge. Neither does my father. So there was a lot of memories of like me and my sister. I remember my sister being, because when I was born, my dad quit to stay home and raise me. That was the thing. So we took like 3-4 years off until I was in kindergarten.
Why dad and not mom? Did mom have the better, more secure job? Benefits,
yeah, my mom worked at the Federal Reserve. Yeah, well, there you go. So she had a good thing going. And my dad was just working at Kiowa State Bank, which was the biggest bank in the incredibly small agricultural town that I was from. And so, yeah, it was just like I didn't wear shoes to my knowledge until I went to kindergarten. We were just shoeless all the time. And my dad used to just tie my sister's head off into a ponytail at the side, big whale spout, and then just a gigantic t-shirt with like a diaper underneath it. And I just remember her standing on the side of the street in jelly sandals and us with our thumbs out. And some lady stopped to pick us up, some like, you know, some church going woman. And she's like, what are you doing? And just gave my dad this tongue lashing. My dad's kind of like, you know, we all got to help each other. His big thing was, we're not farmers. We have to help each other, you know, because that taciturn nature of farmers and us like getting in and her driving us like, you know, 5 minutes and her just fucking reaming my
dad. You remember that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, you know what? This lady sucks. My dad's cool.
Yeah.
I think we were literally going to sneak into the Pawnee Hills Clubhouse pool. I think that's why we were up there.
Yeah.
So it's like he was trying to give us a good time. His car broke again. We've hitchhiked a million times. It's not a big deal. You know, my dad went to Elizabeth, the middle school that I went to was the school he went to K-12. So it's like, he's been here. He knows everyone. You're the outsider, lady. Dave Talon hitchhikes. I knew that when I was like 7 years old. I was like, this is a way of life.
For sure, bro. Dave Talon hitchhikes.
Yeah. So like, it sounds like I'm kind of lambasting my father, but no, I loved, like, I have no negative memories. I remember them fighting. And I think that's why the whole comedian thing came in. Because like my dad and my mom would get in arguments and I'd be like doing bits as like a 7-year-old, you know, like pants fall down bits, like whoops going on, you know, just please stop fighting.
Right. Anything but this.
Yeah. So there was that stuff, but no one ever hit me. My dad would flick the back of your ear. That's how he got your attention. Just one right to the back of the ear, which is a very effective method.
It is, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. I wish if there was more trauma to mine from that, but it would just be stolen valor, you know?
Stolen valor.
Yeah. Like, it would just be hyperbolic for the sake of creating drama. And I didn't have that. My grandparents were there. My aunt and uncle.
You never, once you had the hindsight and obviously the knowledge and the wisdom, you never looked back on your dad in a negative way. You never thought, wow, he was drunk doing this stuff. It was just, what was it for you?
No. My dad was always there. My dad coached football, and we dominated in football. He coached basketball. He coached baseball. He was beloved by all. He always had a joke. My dad and my grandfather, his father, there's this weird phenomenon with the talent men where you'll just be somewhere, and automatically you'll talk to someone. This happens to me on planes all the time. Where after 2 minutes of conversation, they're telling you about the worst thing that's ever happened to you. They're dumping.
I get it. Me too.
Yeah. And it's just something that is a phenomenon to us. I remember my grandfather, we'd be at the grocery store and he'd talk to someone about like for like 20 minutes about like their wife dying. And I'd be like, Grandpa, who was that? And he'd be like, I have no idea. So my dad did that a lot. He was always there for people.
I'm that guy. I still to this day remember I was in the Glendale Mall. God, this was in the late 90s. I was with my girlfriend at the time and we were in like Gap or something. And there was a doorway to get in here, the big stores, and you can go out here too. Two ways to get in. And we're near the one of the entrances or exits. And I see this homeless guy walk into the other one and he just makes eye contact with me, locks eyes. And I said, that guy's going to come and talk to me. She's like, how do you know? I go, because this is what happens to me. And he went right by everybody and came up and just started talking to me. Just out here the other day, guy out comes over, just starts telling me his whole life story. Yeah. I get it. The craziest one ever happened to me was on a flight to Denver, actually. And there were these two young boys that sat next to me and they were really young. One might have been maybe 5 and the other one might have been like 8 or 9. They were brothers and their mom had put them on a plane to go see their dad. So they're sitting with me, but they were, you know, being taken care of by the airline. And the one just starts chatting me up. He's the older brother. He's in the middle. The younger brother's on the aisle and he's already asleep. And it's a late night flight and they're talking to me and he's going to meet his father, who is now a woman.
Wow.
And who's married to a woman.
Wow.
And this is his first trip to go meet the man he knew as his dad, now as a woman.
Uh-huh.
And this kid's telling me all about it. And I'm just looking at this kid and I'm just like, I got nothing for you. I don't have anything to, you know what I mean?
You just put the earbuds in. You're like, good luck, kid. All right. It's rough out there for everybody.
And I felt so, because he was confused and he's like, do you think they'll still like, we'll still have a Christmas? I was like, yeah, you're going to have a Christmas. Yeah. Who cares if your dad's your mom?
The Christmas is going to be so much better.
Way better.
There's a lot to prove. There's a bunch on the line. Yeah. You have two moms. Dads don't do the buying.
No.
You got two moms buying all your gifts
you're
now.
You're going to love it.
Kid, you leveled up.
You're going to love it.
You just won the lottery.
Your dad just did you a favor.
Yeah, this is a dream, boy. All right.
And I was like, man, and I'm thinking like this poor kid is tackling stuff that most adults are never going to experience.
No.
Like, I'm not a licensed therapist in any way. Uh-uh. And I'm just telling this kid, like, you know, stay positive and enjoy Christmas. Yeah. It might be your mom. I don't know even how to say. Your dad may be your mom now, mm-hmm. but your mom still loves you. You know, I'm giving him all the pie. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I get it nonstop. They just love to dump on me.
I mean, but that's even more peculiar because it's a child.
That was
so. There must be some kind of pheromone. It has to be on some kind of there's some level that we have.
That's interesting.
Because I mean, I'm not necessarily the most like open person. Like when I'm out, it's like I have things to do. Mm-hmm. I really value my time at home. But if someone does want to just, I used to take Greyhounds to gigs. I was a Megabus guy. So you get trapped on those things.
Oh, yeah. Those are full of people that want to tell you their sorrows and woes.
Because hopefully when you get off at the next pit stop, you'll buy them some Carl's Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
If they just like, you know, show you the fucking bag of change that mm-hmm. that's going to get them all the way to Tucson, you're like, all right, four breakfast burritos.
Here's $10.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah, yeah. Here's a Lucky Strike.
Yeah.
I don't even smoke. Here's a pack. Yeah, dude, that shit is bizarre. And there's a lot of men that I've talked to that have that. But it was so just pronounced with my dad and my grandfather. Yeah. Also, I'm sorry I'm talking so much.
Please, this is your episode.
Oh, that's sweet.
But you would see it. You remember seeing that as a kid, people come up and talk to them as well, not just them telling you about it.
No, I remember it because, I mean, I spent so much time with my dad because he, you know, quit working for a while to raise me. And then my grandfather was like, I was always with grandpa. Ova Talent was the man. And yeah, I just remember being out with them and just being like bored. That's why I remember, because I'm standing there with my hand on the grocery cart being like, can we please move this along so I can go buy a new copy of Jughead?
Yeah.
Like, I know something's coming at the end of this that I'm going to get paid off. So yeah, that's something in our blood, I think.
Okay, so back to your mom. So your dad drives out to check on your mom because it's odd that obviously after all this communication, her phone's now.
Right.
Or she's non-responsive, and he finds her curled up on the floor.
I think the fire department.
Oh, the fire department.
Yeah.
I think he called ahead.
Okay. And what's this? So it's all a blur, dude. I was in Vegas, right?
How old are you at the time?
This was 2017. So that was 6 years ago. So 30.
Okay.
I'm 30 years old. And I just had moved to Vegas about 18 months prior. So my wife, we got married, and then 4 days later, we moved to Las Vegas. And I went from like being in Denver, where it was nonstop fun with my friends, living in an apartment building where like five of the units were occupied by my sister and my four best friends, like nonstop good time, stage time constantly, kind of king shit of Denver at that moment, you know, to going to Vegas, where it's like comedy in Vegas is abysmal.
Yeah.
It's the worst place in the world to do stand-up. The people who go see comedy in Vegas do not like creative comedy. They want, my wife's pussy stinks, here's how bad it smells. I swear to God.
Yeah,
no, they want a catchphrase. I wrote this bit when I was there.
Catchphrase, you're right.
Fuck my big old ass was the catchphrase bit that I had. And I would do it there. And like my friends, you know, I would go do it when I'd go on the road. I was still on the road a lot. And it was kind of like a postmodern thing. Like, you know, they love catchphrase comedy. You do a terrible setup and then fuck my big old ass. So I thought it was kind of, you know, I don't want to get too highfalutin, but definitely like a winking, you know, like, you know, anti-comedy thing. But I would do that in Vegas. And people would be like, by the third time you say it, fuck my big old ass. They love it. They're like, are you going to sell t-shirts after the show?
I was about to say.
Yeah. And then I would go to like these kind of like alt, you know, bookstore shows on the road back when I couldn't move any tickets. And those were great shows. I was glad to have them. I'm not besmirching them. And I'd do it there and they'd be like, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Fuck those people that like that kind of thing. So that might have been the best bit I ever wrote because it worked for everyone.
Segura and I used to talk about this all the time. He used to, and this is way before he blew up or anything. And he was like, Ryan, I really feel like if I create a character, I'll get there quicker than ever. And we talked about this character he was talking about named Rodeo. And the catchphrase was, hey, ho, rodeo. And
it's great.
I said, Tom, if you do that, I promise you, you're going to hate your life.
Sure.
You're going to shoot right to the top with some bullshit.
Just the merchandise sales alone, you're going to be on a private jet even earlier.
Just walking up the stage going, hey, ho, rodeo.
Standing ovation.
And then they're all saying it. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. You know I love therapy here. We're big time on therapy. We talk about mental health and physical health, emotional health, all of it. Therapy is a wonderful thing. I'm telling you, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/honeydew today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/honeydew. Again, BetterHelp, HELP.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
Yeah, so like I would see, you know, I would see, and you'd see Buffet Jackson go on stage, you know, and he would kill, and you'd be like, well, I'm going to go up and do what I think is funny, and then not do well. And you're like, what am I doing? Why am I here? I had a residency in Vegas. It was a big deal. It was on the Strip, 2 weeks at Planet Hollywood. And I was like, this is a big deal. Like, I'm moving to town. I got a residency. Everything's going to be okay. I'll be able to be in town for my wife while she's in the first 2 years of med school. I was 4 years. It's supposed to be 4 years of med school, which is a very harrowing time for her. And I was just, I died constantly. And not in like the kind of like you can save it or you're having fun. Like, literally, you're supposed to do 20. I had a guy one time raise his hand like 3 minutes into my set. And he's like, excuse me. And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, no more of you. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're ruining my wife's birthday. And I was like, it can't be that bad. Spotlight onto his wife, weeping into her hands in the front row. Yes.
Weeping. Yes. Only a few minutes
sobbing,
in.
Why? Shoulders bouncing. Why? Makeup. I have no idea. I don't know what they thought they were going to see at the, you know, comics cabaret at Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
We ended up being a Latvian guy. So I try to save it, you know, after 4 more minutes. But everyone else is having fun, right? Bone-chilling silence. Earth-shattering silence. I'm supposed to do 20. I do 12, and I'm bringing on a cabaret act. She has to come back out. She has to come out and do her thing. But it's a Vegas show, so she knows she has exactly to this moment, to the second when she's coming on stage. So now it's just 8 minutes of me being like,
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Tana the Tattooed Lady, everyone. She'll be right out. Let's be a little bit louder. It was so bad. And I get off stage and I just called my wife and I was like, I think I need to go back to college. I don't think I can do this anymore here. That's when I started hitting the road even harder, just so I could prove that I wasn't terrible at comedy. So we're there and election night 2017. And I'm going to Denver the next day. I'm going to fly to Denver to do Comedy Central's roast battle in Denver. It was my first big TV credit. And they're filming it at Comedy Works, my home club. So I wake up in the morning. I have an early flight anyway. And my dad, a bunch of text messages, call me when you wake up. I think he's, you know, being weird about picking me up from the airport. And he's like, hey, man, your mom's in the hospital. She had a massive stroke. It's very touch and go. When you arrive, I just want to be honest with you. Hopefully she'll still be with us.
It was that bad.
It's that bad. So my wife calls into school, get her a plane ticket. We go to Denver, fingers crossed. You know, I go straight to the hospital. My whole family's there. My mom, non-responsive, can't talk. Massive, like huge, huge brain injury. And I hang out with her all day. And then that night I have to go to Comedy Works with a bunch of jokes I've never told before because it's a roast. I haven't worked these bits out. And I just remember getting there. And Justine Marino was a great lady from Denver.
Yep.
I've known her forever. She's been nothing but good to me. She's why I'm on Roast Battle. Because she was like, if you're doing Denver, you got to have Sam. So I just go up to her at the hotel and I'm like, she's like, hey, Sam, how are you? And I'm like, well, Justine, I just want to let you know my mom, huge stroke. I don't know if she's going to be alive moment to moment. Don't pull any punches, you know? And she's like, oh. I need to do some stroke material, you know? Of course, she's a comic, you know? It was perfect. It's what I needed to hear. You know, we do the show and then I go right back to the hospital. So anyway, all that said, now I don't live in Denver anymore. And my wife is in med school and this is hard and I need to be there for her. But also my mom, you know, it's just a weird thing to have to figure out your priorities at that age. Like, I love you. I want to build a life with you. I know you're doing something very brave and difficult, but I got to be here. I got to be with my mom. So there was all this just like back and forth, being in Denver, going back home, taking care of her. So my wife, the best woman, saved my life in multiple ways. She ended up transferring, which you don't transfer in med school. That's like an impossible.
Is that right?
It's very difficult to do. She transferred to a school, an osteopathic medicine school, which was about a half hour from where my parents lived. So we moved back. And now there's this, we moved back in May of the next year. So there's about, you know, 7-8 months where it's just this whole new dynamic. Because my mom took care of everyone my whole life. She was the person you called if you had any difficulty. You know, you have to borrow money. You hit up mom, you know, don't worry. But dad's there, but he's more of a mascot. You know, he's
a mascot.
And that sounds shitty to say.
No, but I guess.
But like on the team that is my parents, my mom's George Steinbrenner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She runs the operation.
Yeah.
And dad, he's there to raise morale. You know,
he's
if you're having a party.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. My dad's the Philly fanatic. Yeah. And my mom is trying to build a fucking franchise, you know? She mm-hmm. wants to hang some she wants to hang some pennants from the rafters, you know? And then there's these weird, you know, my sister's like, you got to be home more. There's just a lot of pressures that are coming in from all over. So my wife transferred. And then it was just like, okay, my mom probably had 50 to 100 words after that, you know, effectively wheelchair bound. She could walk with a cane. And my mom, who was the most independent woman who really valued her autonomy, is now like kind of just beholden to the patience of her family. Not that we wouldn't give her everything, but I just remember my sister one time being like, mom, say my name. And my mom could say the name Julie because that was her sister's name. So she would just be like, Julie. And my sister being like, say my name, mom. Julie. And then my mom starts crying. My sister starts crying. So there was just a
whole. You're just like, Julie, fucking settle down over here. Right?
Well, yeah.
You're wrong with him.
Hey, throw her a fucking bone fee. All right. Okay. She's using a spoon.
Yeah.
Can we count some of these small victories?
She went from no words to 100. Yeah.
You're Julie. We're all Julie. All right. Everyone's Julie now, Sophie. It's a new world. Yeah. There's one name. It's Julie and it's Dave. All right.
Yeah.
That's what we got. We got my dad's name.
So she did have your dad. She remembered your dad's name. Did she remember her name?
No, I mean, I don't think she. I think she could say Betsy.
Did she remember yours?
She knew. She could write our names.
She just couldn't say it.
She couldn't say them.
Okay.
You know? And then to see my mom, who had the most beautiful, flowery, cursive script handwriting, now having to write in block letters, just like she beat herself up so much over the course until she passed like 5 years later. And it was just so difficult to see my mom just like get so pissed at herself. And then also she can no longer travel by herself, you know? And my dad, who I just called the mascot, the level of empathy and patience that he showed, stepping up completely to be her caregiver and to be everything to her. You know, he learned how to cook. He learned how to decorate. He learned how to, paint pottery, you know, just like all this stuff that my mom really liked. He would do that for her. So my dad in this whole thing, we all leveled up as far as like human beings. But good God, I'm so proud of my father. Because again,
that's great.
Doofus, you know, like honestly, just like me, incapable of very mundane things. But here he is with my mom, you know, learning how to cook fucking quinoa, you know, learning how to, my dad at this point, 20 years sober, learning how to mix a Greyhound exactly the way my mom liked it. It was insane, dude. It was insane to see this guy who was just like a good time Charlie end up being like a sanctified member of our family. And then just her like downfall. We still traveled with her, but we go to New Orleans every year as a family. And my mom would just, in the morning, we'd be hungover. She'd wake up, go about her day, come home, we'd get lunch. And now, you know, having to, you know, not get wasted the night before because mom wants to go to the French market. So it's like, okay, we're all going to wake up at 8 now. The entire dynamic changed.
Sure. Well, good. I mean, you guys did that.
We did everything as good as we could have.
That's right. You could have gone and been just like, no.
Right.
So was she in a wheelchair the entire time?
I mean, she could putter around the house, you know? And when it mattered, my mom would, she would dress up, you know, put on her furs. She'd have that cane. I remember I had a special come out. Sorry. There's a special I did called Waiting for Death to Claim Us, and it's on Amazon for free. What a just ghoulish time for a plug. I mean,
go check that special out. Y'all.
Oh my God. You ever catch yourself like remembering where you are and you're like, oh yeah, hopefully I get some more eyes on this thing. God damn it. fuck. So anyway, we debuted the special. We put it out in a movie theater in Denver.
Oh, that's nice.
It was nice. We did it in Fort Collins, where I live now, and in Denver, Colorado. And my mom came and she watched it. She walked in, you know, with her cane all the way from the front door. She didn't even want my dad to park in the handicap spot. So I meet her out there in the parking lot and I walk her in, you know, and everyone, my friends who've been there since day one, you know, they come up and they try and talk to her and she just, hey, good to see you, you know, like she didn't even say that.
Is this the first time she's going to see you do stand up?
Oh, my mom was there day one.
Okay, good.
My mom and my dad have.
So she wants this then. Oh, she's ready for this. She's been there since day one. This is your special.
Dude. Anyway, well, I'll tell you this in a second. Yes, my mom was very proud of me. And she was there, you know, she saw me in Casper, Wyoming. She saw me in Kearney, Nebraska. Like she would drive to these terrible shows and see me eat shit in front of people while they didn't turn off the Cornhuskers game.
Right.
You know, like she saw all the very bad things. Now the special's coming out and Comedy Dynamics is putting it out, you know, for whatever relationship I have with them. It was a big deal to my mom. So she comes in, she watches it. And at the end of the night, everyone's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm just like sitting with my mom. And it's like, I have to sit with my mom. Is what I'm going to do right now. And then when you guys all clear out of here, my mom's going to take that long walk back to the car. So I walk her out. I put her in the car. And then she died that night.
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah. My mom passed away that night of a massive like heart thing. The night.
Did you drop her off?
I took her to the car with my dad.
Oh, so you just walked her.
Walked her to the car.
Okay.
And then, you know, because we're going to go out that night. Right. We're celebrating. And she's going to go home. And
who called you to tell you?
My dad was actually, yeah, my dad drives up. So this was actually, yeah, I'm in Fort Collins where my wife's in residency. And then there's a knock at the door at 6 a.m. And I assumed that my mom had just kind of been like, hey, Dave, I love you. You got to get out of the fucking house. Because that would happen. She would stay with my aunt. He would come stay with us just because they're on top of each other.
Right.
Nonstop. Because she needs him. She needs someone to walk her to the bathroom. She needs someone to make all of her meals, you know? It's just the reality of the situation. And he shows up and I'm at the top of the stairs, and my dad comes in. He knows where the key is. He comes in and he says, "Hey, buddy." And I said, "What's up, dude?" And he says, "Well, your mom died." And, you know, okay. And right away, I turn in my mom's son. I'm like, okay, I need to pack a bag. We need to go tell Sophie. We have to go tell Aunt Julie. These are the things we have to check off the list. Not your mom died. You know, it's more like, okay. And you know what? My mom, God bless her. We would sit because my sister couldn't deal with her emotional load, her being honest about her calamity. So I remember my mom sitting with me once on a patio somewhere, and she was like, you know, me? Better. Me? Me? And I was like, Mom, it wouldn't be better if you were dead. I'm glad you're alive. I know shit sucks for you. And I could talk to her this way because we were like that.
So can I ask you real quick, not to interrupt, but she does understand you when you talk to her. She just can't communicate back. Is she comprehending the way you're speaking to her? Like,
I can't remember the clinical term. I think it's synesthesia, where she can take, she can hear you physically. Like, mm-hmm. The ears work. But as far as processing it every time, it doesn't work every time.
Not every time.
No. Okay. So there would be things where you kind of had to explain things more to her, dumb it down a little bit. But yeah, I'd say that as far as like engaged in a conversation, she's 75% there, you know? You just had to slow it down. She started counting airplanes, man. That was the weirdest fucking thing.
Just watching them go by and count.
She would, when I'd come out and I'd see her, the first thing she would tell me would be like, 7 planes today. It's like, okay. And I guess when your life becomes very small after being very big, that's something that you can keep track of. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
7 airplanes today. So my dad tells me my mom's dead. And then my wife wakes up. She starts crying immediately. They were incredibly close because she altered her life path to make sure that we were there for my mom. And my dad's standing over the sink with me. He's drinking water. You know, it's a 2-hour drive from where he was. And he says, yeah, we made it 47 years. And then she broke her promise. And I said, Dad, what do you mean? He said, we made it 47 years. We're supposed to make it 50 and then double suicide. So my dad, the third sentence after your mom died, we have to go tell your sister. Double suicide. And I could see it in his face that he thought it up on the drive up.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, this is going to be good. This is going to be big.
It's my closer right
there. Yes. I just remember, before I cried at all, I'm laughing with my dad over the sink. And then we have to go tell everyone. My sister totally loses it, you know, because people experience things differently. It's totally fine. And then that night we go to my Aunt Julie's and we stay there as a family. We end up being together for like a month between my Aunt Julie and my house in Fort Collins. And I remember being up really late and my wife being like, because we, you know, everyone just started drinking. It's my Uncle Tom, my aunt. You know, my Uncle Tom's known my mom longer than my dad. We've all been kind of expecting this to happen. You know what I mean? Like her faculties are declining. Her test, she's not drinking water. My mom would not drink water. So she would just have like kidney stones, you know, just like all the time. Her urine is the color of this table. And my wife's a doctor at this point. So she like kind of knows what's going on, you know. It's just like, okay, if your mom's only drinking mojitos, she would bring in her own mojitos to a bar, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Because I mean, what's she have now? Not that she became like this like awful drunk, but she just like, she was medicating herself, you know. And hey, I get it. No one's mad at you, Mom. You know, so anyway, it was falling off, you know. So I'm there that night and like I don't write jokes well. I like to improvise. I even have an idea. You hammer it out on stage, you know, after 4 weekends, you got 5 to 10 minutes. That's how. But anyway, I was just like, my wife wakes up and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just writing some stuff about my mom. And that those jokes, getting the stuff out. That ended up being like this 20-minute set that I would do in front of Tim Dillon when I was opening for him in these big theaters. And it was just such a relief. But I remember the big thing being like, that weekend was the High Plains Comedy Festival, the comedy festival in Denver. And I remember them being like, hey man, we love you. If you can't do it, we get it. Don't worry. And I was like, I think I'm going to do stand up. You know, it's like, this is my favorite weekend of the year. I remember going on stage right before Amy Miller, God bless her.
Love Amy Miller.
Love Amy Miller, longtime friend of me and my family. And this is the first time I haven't told anyone. I didn't want to be the guy at the barbecue for the festival being like, hey, you know, my mom died. No. So I go on stage and some very close people know. David Borey knew, Nathan Lund knew, because Borey's family. Do you know David Borey? He's the voice of Comedy Central now.
Oh, okay.
And we met, he went to my high school freshman year and we became best friends. He was like a second son to my parents. And then he ended up doing stand-up independently in San Francisco. He has a great career. And I remember we went to my sister and then he lives in Denver now. We drove to him and we all show up and we're like, hey, David, we got to tell you, my mom died. And he's sitting, it's very early. He's sitting at his desk and he starts crying. And he looks up and he says, oh, I really wish I wasn't wearing this shirt. And we're like, what? And we look at it and it's two huge white asses pointed at the White House. And it says, twerk 2024. Another big laugh, you know? But I remember I do this set that arguably the best I've ever been at stand-up in front of everyone. And it's very heartfelt and sweet and fresh. And then I remember all my friends are washing the side of the stage. And I was like, and you know, this is pretty heavy. But if my mom could see it right now, I know she would say, at least he's not doing crowd work. And that's when my friends all started crying. Because they know she would come and see me at Comedy Works, you know, featuring, headlining. And she'd be like, can't you just write a joke? Like, what are you doing? You know, that guy had a cool hat on. You're going to talk to him for 10 minutes about his hat. Write a joke, Sam. This isn't sustainable. And then I got off stage and I went and I just held my friends in the middle of a green room at a comedy festival. And then Amy Miller goes up and she just goes on stage. She's like, what the fuck? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
He's your hero. He's from here. His mom's dead. How many of you knew Sam's mom? There's like 30 hands. She's like, oh my God. I wish I was dead, you know? So God bless her. She persevered. But yeah, man, it kind of teaches you. And then I couldn't smoke weed anymore.
L-E-T-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Why?
Because I started having panic attacks because I realized the frailty of life.
Listen, as a avid smoker,
yeah,
anytime I'm at my lowest, I can't either.
Yeah.
It makes me focus so well, which is why I like using it, that even during the bad times, I start focusing on those and then future tripping on da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't smoke marijuana right now. I got to put this shit down.
And I mean, it defined me from 14 all the way through
14.
I was smoking weed early, man. I mean, I was doing LSD at 13. I smoked crack accidentally when I was 13.
These are all my favorites, the accidental drugs. Yeah.
Well, it was just because I played drums. I was the only drummer in my very small town. So there was older boys and they had a band, a very bad like Korn cover band effectively, but they needed a drummer. And they were like the cool bad kids, you know, Reed Berry and Jordan Berry. And I remember being at a sleepover at their house one night.
The Berry Boys?
The Berry Boys. All them right. Berry Boys?
Yeah.
They're nothing but trouble.
It sounds like it.
Dude. You see them Berry Boys in the graveyard? Like you the let them do whatever they're doing. All right? If Reed Berry's in the cemetery, you just keep on driving. All right? Because it is not good. But my dad was friends. My dad was friends with their parents, so he knew they were good kids. They just like smoked cigarettes and, you know, grave robbed or whatever.
Grave robbed.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were passing around a pipe, and I hit it because I'm not going to be a baby here, and I hit it, and it ended up being crack cocaine.
Crack.
Yeah. God Jesus. Bless them. Good guys. They've turned it around. I love them. They're good men. You know.
They've turned it around. Yeah. Good.
And I was a little fat. I was a little fat kid, and there was this kid there named Dan Setter, and he had beef with a kid named Mongo, who was another big fat guy, but he was all on crack. And he thought that Mongo was sitting in the corner, and he came over and he had half a pair of scissors in his poncho. He had a drug rug on, and he pulled them out, and he's like, "Mongo, we're settling this right now." And I was like, "Ah, I'm a child, Dan. It's me, Sam Talent, Dan." And having to talk him off that ledge, he died in a car crash.
He did not turn around.
He did not. God bless yeah, him. Very funny. God very, you know, kind of like a kind of. Anyway, I don't need to talk about Dan Setter. But yeah, so the weed thing. I just realized kind of like, and I would have like, the panic attacks manifested as full scale, like heart attack symptoms. And I just remember like, and I learned how to do stand up, stone to the bone. You know, I got paid for some of the first biggest shows I ever did in Colorado in like, you know, a trash bag full of weed. Like weed was the coolest. I miss smoking weed, but I couldn't smoke anymore just because I would start thinking about just like how my mom, healthy woman, good blood, you know, on the right medicine, and her brain just popped randomly. And I was like, well, fuck, that's where this is all going for everyone. So, yeah, I miss it. I can eat an edible here or there nowadays. But
do you drink?
Yeah, but not like I used to on the road, man. It was bad. I mean, not like the shows were bad, but it was like, okay, I'm in Chattanooga and I have to take
road,
a Greyhound.
You know, it'll kill you. It will. It's so easy that there's beers and shit right in the mini fridge here. There's anything you want to order. The food is all garbage. You know, like it's not.
Sleep is bad.
Sleep's terrible. You're in different time zones. You don't know what the fuck's going on sometimes. Yeah. It's not a healthy lifestyle. No. Yeah. We try to take walks. Like we're trying to do something out there. Correct. At least stretch your legs or do something. Hit the little gym at the hotel. Anything to keep the machine in motion.
Oh, for sure. I remember I did something at the Ohio State University because I wrote this book about a fucking road dog comic who just, you know, it was very well received. Running the Light. You can buy it at samtalent.com. There's an audio book if you're fucking stupid. A bunch of comics read it. You can hear Bert Kreischer try to read. So
does he do it? He reads a chapter.
He read the first chapter, God bless him. Right. Yeah, yeah. And one of the place where the first chapter said is "To Come Carry New Mexico," and him trying to figure that word out live was just a transcendent moment for my audio team.
Yeah.
But anyway, now it's like, okay, there's a botanical garden. So I did Ohio State, and then Shane Gillis was in town, and I was like, hey, man, you're at the Funny Bone. What are you doing tomorrow? I'll come down. He's like, come do a set. I was like, I'm going to go to the botanical gardens, because botanical gardens in Columbus, Ohio are some of the best in the United States.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's amazing. Know. Yeah. And I hit up Shane. I was like, I'm going to the gardens. And he was just like, that's the gayest thing I've ever heard anyone say. I was like, okay, you want to just fucking be in your hotel room, mired in your hangover, that's fine. I have to go do stuff, you know, because I've been on the road. So I was in bands first, and then I was in comedy. And it's just like, and I don't know if you have this thing, because you don't drink, right? Mm. Yeah, yeah. So.
Now, I listen.
Yeah.
Prior to all this health stuff, I'd have a beer here and there. Sure. Now, I don't even do that.
Yeah,
which is good. It's just cannabis and just shrooms.
That's great.
Those are what the surgeons told me I'm allowed to have.
Bro.
And they said, those will never hurt you.
Yeah.
I said, great. I don't need anything pharmaceutical. I'm not into pills. Mm-hmm. Never. Thank God. Because I know I would be addicted like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big drinker. I'm not into any of the hard drugs. None of that stuff.
No.
It's just cannabis. And I don't even like the infused stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I just want plant. And I mean, flour and shrooms.
Nothing better than a nice joint on on a balcony while the sun goes down. Or you know what I miss is smoking weed and going on a bike ride, because that makes it just mystical.
Yeah,
you know,
or a hike. I love that.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, I'll work.
To
up
each
to
their
that.
Own, you know. but the weed thing, man. Because I had to relearn how to do stand up because I was just stoned from, you know, when I first stepped on stage at 18 all the way until then. Yeah. My thing now is like when you go on the road, you have all these friends, and it's a funny. The best part of being a comedian is everyone you know is the funniest person in that city. So it's like, okay, you're in Cincinnati, then you're in Louisville, then you're in Indianapolis. Thursday, you show up. Your boys, you get to see once a year. They want to go out and have a night with you, and then that turns into the next day. You're hungover, and then you're on. You know, you're driving to fucking Indianapolis, and your friends are there, mm-hmm. and you got to have a couple just because you feel like shit. And then Saturday, the show suffers. So I've definitely toned it down, mm-hmm. you know, because now I've worked so hard, I don't want to fucking shit the bed now, you know. because I can finally move a couple units here and there. But yeah, boozing was, it was just, dude, I would go out for like 5 weeks and come home with like $400. And I'd be like, this is good.
It's not cheap either. Yeah.
It's not cheap, but it's also like, I'm doing this. I'm getting good at stand up. And this is, I guess, just part of the cost, the self-flagellation that you have to do.
Tell me about your dad now. He's still alive, right?
Thriving, dude.
So is he single? Did he ever date? Like, do you talk to him about your mom at all? And if so, what do you talk about?
Yeah, I talk. I mean, my dad is around all the time now. I see more of my dad now than I ever did as an adult. Because now it's like when me and my wife go on vacation. Like, we went to Ecuador for all of May so she could do immersive Spanish medicine. And I wanted to go down there and learn Spanish better and work on my book. And we had this weird conversation where it's like, should we invite dad? She's like, yeah, why not? So now he's just in Riobamba, Ecuador while we're there and we go hang out with him and stuff. So he's around all the time. And yeah, so my dad, you know, he's a handsome old man. And I think that he goes to these grief groups. Anyway, I always joke about him just like, you know, cleaning up 13 stepping women whose, you know, husbands just went in the grave. He doesn't do that, you know. He lets the bodies cool first.
Yeah, a little bit.
No, so I don't think that I know that he's going on, like, you know, day dates with a woman now. And I remember,
but that's nice. He goes to grief groups.
Oh yeah.
He still misses your mom. It still bothers him.
Well, I think he kills at these grief groups because he was at AA, you know.
First.
So he knows how to talk in front of a crowd. He's good in front of a crowd. He's funny. Dude, my dad. This motherfucker, at my mom's funeral, I'm doing time. I'm not doing time. Oh, fuck.
I got the line?
He's got that line. Where's the lineup? So I'm going last at the funeral.
You're closing?
I'm closing it down.
Okay, all right.
The worst booking ever. So I'm going last, and my dad's like, I was like, Dad, you need to go last. Like, what are you talking about? She's your wife of 40 plus years. And he's like, no, just you close it down, buddy. You know, you're going to do great. My dad did 50 minutes.
50?
Did 50 minutes.
Wow.
And at no point was it like, hey, light this guy. It was tears. It was him taking long pauses when he needed to. It's just like, dude, you're a kid, and then all of a sudden you're an adult. And you had a dad, and now you've got kind of like, I always admired my dad, but now, like, I really have put him on this pedestal, and I'm so proud of him. And now he's just around, you know? And in Ecuador, I was like, Dad, I'm not gonna be mad at you if you have a girlfriend. I'll be mad at you if you don't tell me. And he was like, well, I should probably tell you something then. And I don't want to say it's a girlfriend. I don't want to put any pressure. He's gonna listen to this. I don't want to put any pressure on him. I want him to be happy. I don't want him to be alone. Do whatever you want to do, Dad.
Yeah.
We're all for it.
It's his life.
And also, he was there. It wasn't like my mom had her stroke and he was like, I'm going to be at the pool hall. He was like there constantly. So now, dude, in your, you know, going into your 70s, please get it in, Pop. All right.
Do you do anything in your stand up or anything to honor or remember your mom?
I had that 20 to 25 I did with Tim, and we did like four different or three different continents, and I did it every night, you know? And it was just so, I did that, but then it kind of felt weird after I got done to like, it felt like I was like, kind of like, I don't want to be vulgar, like humping my mom's memory for like, you know, like mining that for 25 minutes. And when I'm headlining, it's improvising, it's silly, it's not at all profound in any way. I don't want anyone thinking or like ruminating when I'm on stage. I want them to be throwing up or mad. You know, I want them laughing, or I want them to be like, what's going on up there? Like Harlan Williams is a hero, you know, Rory Scovel. When you watch those guys, you don't leave there being like, remember that thing he said about bananas? And you're like, I don't know why that was so funny, but in the moment it was the best thing you've ever heard. So yeah. So I had 25 minutes and I was proud of it. And then I just was like, I gotta stop doing this. It feels weird.
It didn't feel cathartic. It didn't.
Oh, it did in the time. But then then after, you know, a year goes by, a year and a half, how I felt when I wrote this in my aunt's guest room is not true anymore.
Right.
So now I'm having to like kind of like contrive these emotions on. Not that I was like weeping on stage, but like the pauses were like, I don't believe in this anymore. You know, I've not that I've moved on. I think about my mom all the time. Whenever I smell lilac, you know, whenever I hear the name David Sedaris, it's like all these things that she gave me as a mother. Mm-hmm. Whenever I travel, my mom, you know, we didn't have a lot of money because my dad was figuring it out, but she still took us on vacation twice a year to like Bar Harbor, Maine, you know, to Anna Maria Island, Florida, all these places I'd never heard of. And that's when I was like, well, man, you know what's fucked, dude? For Christmas, the year before she passed away, I got her and my dad tickets to Paris.
Nice.
Yeah, because she hadn't been outside of the States besides like Mexico or Canada since her stroke. And I was like, you got to go. You guys got to figure out how to do this because, you know, you figure she's going to be around forever, you know? And then I didn't get the refund on those tickets. You know, I couldn't get the money back.
They didn't let you get extend a credit or something on a bereavement. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what was weird? That's some credits you could have used for the road, bro.
Dude, you know what? And also, when she passed, I never ever considered, like, am I going to get any money? But I went full Reed Barry in the graveyard when I was like, hey, Dad, who's going to get all those United miles? You can transfer those. And he's like, I think I'll hold on to them. And I was like, okay, you definitely need those. I couldn't upgrade all the time because my mom flew for the Federal Reserve all the time. So those miles are just languishing right now.
You could be killing them out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting for upgrades like an idiot. No, let me use these miles.
Dude, thank you very much for coming on and talking about this for real.
Yeah, I feel like I talked too much.
No,
I'm sorry.
This is your episode. What this is.
Thanks, man.
But before we end, something I always ask our guests when they're first time here is advice they'd give to their 16-year-old self. So after everything we've talked about, what do you think you would tell 16-year-old Sam Talent?
Now, is this with – am I the 36-year-old man that sits before you?
Yeah.
That
with has your wisdom and your hindsight, you can go back to your 16-year-old self and give yourself a heads up. What would you like to say?
I would just say that you should – in your 20s, you're going to have regional success in Denver early if you do stand-up. And maybe don't spend every day waiting to go on stage for 10 minutes, just sitting in a cloudy pot-filled room with women who either don't love you as much as you love them or deadbeats who can get eighths of weed for $20, you know?
That's great fucking advice, actually.
Yeah.
It really is.
Because I do want him to make all those same mistakes. I want him to get his heart broken. Like, maybe just be more aware of the fact that, like, just because you love someone a lot doesn't mean that they're ever going to reciprocate that. Just get outside more, man. You know, you gain some weight. You go from a stud to a D1 prospect to, you know, you're stepping on the scale in your wife's medical clinic and her going, what? You know, yeah. So just watch out for that. You know, if you're going to drink, maybe don't drink 15 beers. Maybe be a cocktail guy.
Yeah, it's great,
you know,
advice.
And also travel more earlier. Go outside of the United States earlier because you really, really think that you're like this cultured, like, you know, man of the world, but you were afraid to go to anywhere outside of the States because you didn't think that they would be nice to you. And also quit worrying about people being mad at you. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was so much in my life defined by, like, I don't want anyone to be mad at me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good for you, Dan.
Yeah.
Thank you again. I really appreciate you
being
here.
Dude, thank you, man.
For real.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me.
Please plug and promote everything one more time.
Yeah, when this comes out, I'll be in Australia. So come to those shows. And then samtalent.com. I'm in every city in America all the way through 2024. If you're listening to this in Eastern Europe or Scandinavia, I'll be there in November. I'm obsessed with doing stand-up outside of the States right now. It's so much fun. Follow at Sam Talent on Instagram and check out samtalent.com with two L's to see my dates. This is my podcast. I went on Rogue and I didn't plug my podcast.
Plug it.
Bro, Chubby Behemoth. It's funny. Listen to it. That's all I got to say. There's nothing profound or insightful like this one. But if you want to hear about my friend Nathan Lund being shut down at a Burger King window for trying to order 10 Whoppers at midnight, That's the pod for you. Okay? Yeah. So Chubby Behemoth, listen to that.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, dude.
Come see me on tour. Get all your tickets at RyanSickler.com, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.